the unification.
The basic point according to Vedanta is that there is only one reality.
That's the reason.
That is the reason why we can see all this, we can share everything, because there is only one reality. And the important point is that even materialists, when they come to the experience of recognition, they see this proposition of identity. Experience of identity is so fundamental.
I wondered about this for so long.
But this is the real Vedantic answer actually. Because reality is one, the knowledge of the one is inherent in the one. Because there is nothing else. Because the one is conscious, if it was not conscious, then again this would not happen. The very nature of the one is conscious. The one being one and one being conscious, the one recognizing one, is identical and therefore inevitable and indubitable. It can't be doubted. In fact, that is the only standard of truth, indubitability. If there is anything which is indubitable, it is the knowledge of the one that exists alone, which knows, which is conscious and therefore can know itself, is the only proposition which is really, you might say subjectively or objectively, that is the only reality, only truth. Now this is the domain in which materialist has still not entered. We are now obliging him to enter into it. So our argument is that all his arguments are based upon ignoring a large field of inquiry into which many people have made a great entry and also journey. Fine, this is only the preliminary statement. You go further and you find that as you enter into that domain, you find so many experiences which have a system. A mere hallucination has no system. You can't have a system of hallucinatory experiences, a systematic. You enter into this and you find a system of experiences. When I see the blue color and I examine my consciousness, I find illumination. When I see green color, I find that I had in my consciousness a vital consciousness. There's a system. And whenever this happens, this happens. So you have in this field a system of experiences. And such a system that you can also develop criteria by which you can say this can't be, this can be. If somebody says that, oh, I was extremely happy, I got heavenly delight. And then he says, I saw everywhere green, green, green. If he says so, you can be sure that he had no heavenly delight. He says two statements. I was in heavenly delight and I saw everything green, green, green. You can be sure he had no heavenly delight, because green is a symbol of the vital experience. It is true that he had a great vital experience, but not the heavenly experience. So there can be criteria by which you can judge. All this is a subjective field, but you can judge. So first judgment is sincerity, which you can judge also. Whether somebody is sincere or not can also be judged. At least your own sincerity you can judge, if not somebody else's. Whether you are truly sincere yourself or not can be judged by you. By your inner sincerity. You do know when you are not sincere, you do know when you are sincere. At least we all have experiences when we are sincere and when we are not sincere. This is subjective, but which has a criterion which can be proved to be true. Secondly, you have system of experiences which can give you further criteria of what is right, what is wrong. Thirdly, you have further experiences. You can go out of your body. You can jump into what was subjective, into a world which is now objective, as much objective as you are here, walking into this physical world. There are extraordinary experiences of going out of the body, and you go on perceiving things, not with your physical eyes, not with your brain. Brain cells are no more used there at all. You perceive things, and it's not brain cell at all working. When you come back again, you remember that you had gone out, you had seen certain things. Then, of course, brain may be at work. But that knowledge which you possessed at that time, it was not a result of brain cells.
Can dreams be put into this?
Pardon?
Can some dreams be put into this kind of...
Some dreams, yes, certainly.
Out of body experience.
Surely, of course, certainly. Certainly. So there are experiences in which brain cells are not involved, and therefore no physical organs are involved. Therefore, to say that consciousness is connected with physical organs, that fundamental proposition of the materialist, is now negated. That physical organs are not the only instruments of knowledge. And then you find that there are not one supraphysical world, but there are several supraphysical worlds. There are interconnections of them. You can send message from one supraphysical world to another supraphysical world. And all that we speak of the soul, spirit, is connected with this large field. When we say spirit, spirit is what? Spirit is a large field. Word is very simple, therefore we may think that it is simply a little thin flame. But that is not so. Spirit is more than universal. This whole universe is lesser than the spirit. It is more than universal. So that tremendously vast, in which so many communications are possible, and communications from there upon the physical. This is another point. That if you enter into this domain, you find experiences of such a nature that it has even physical effects. If the materialist is prepared, if he is a real inquirer, then he will enter into this field. Now Sri Aurobindo says that fortunately, materialist of the highest kind is an inquirer. If he was not an inquirer, it will be a hopeless case. Although he resists, and resists quite a lot, therefore we had several degrees of materialism presented. But there are who are prepared and who can enter into it. In fact, many of us ourselves are materialists, and we are prepared to enter into it if there are real facts. I think most of the spiritual seekers are as materialistic as anybody else. It is not that they want to believe somehow. They don't believe in dogma. They do not believe in aptavakya. They would not even say, because I have faith I enter. No. They have entered into a field where experiences of in a state of sincerity have brought them certain kind of knowledge
which they can't reject. It's impossible to refuse. This is the ground on which you can say that we have arrived at the fundamental basis of a hypothesis that not matter but consciousness may be the real reality. The steam may be the reality, not the piston. This is the ground. That consciousness may be anterior to this physical world. The physical world is the world which is itself a resultant of consciousness and not the other way around. I think I'll stop here today, but some of the last portions of this dialogue we shall continue next time.
But consciousness is only the nature of the reality, so we have brought him only up to consciousness.
At least that much. We shall still go further into the nature of consciousness and see how it is real. Identity of consciousness and reality. All right. But even with regard to materialism, we still have a little bit of dialogue further. So that we shall come to next time. All right.